So we come to the end of our series on the Beatitudes today. Wonderful word of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful sermon that he spoke. So let me recap this. So the foundation on which all eight are built is the first Beatitude, which started out and said, blessed are those who realize their need for God. Blessed are those who are dependent on the Lord and know how dependent they are. And then from there on, the next five, we said, were all characteristics of this life. People who have come to this point and said, but I want to submit my life to the Lord. I want to live a life with the Lord. And then it has these characteristics of how this life looks like. When you've seen your dependence on God, it touches your heart. And it said, blessed are those who mourn. It meant those whose hearts break for the world and see the brokenness of the world and say, how can I change? How can I help that? How can I make it different? It also shows up in your life in how you look at the world. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we said, doing the right thing, living the right way, making things right. It speaks of how your heart and your life will become a life that is gentle and kind, called meek, those who are meek. It spoke of when I know how dependent I am on God and how I depend on God's mercy for me, I become one who is merciful and live a life that is gracious and grateful, full of God's grace towards others. It also meant that I gave my heart to the Lord. Blessed are those who are pure of heart. And we said that meant who have an undivided heart for God. Those were the characteristics. And then the last two are all about our conduct. And last week we spoke about that. One of the first things that happens is that you want to change your life. And it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And we said being a peacemaker is far more than being peace-loving. Being a peacemaker means living the way that God lives. Also towards those who hurt you. Also towards those who don't care for you. That you live that toward them. Today, as we come to the last one, it just closes the little frame around all of them. It's all about the test. The test of that dependence upon God. And you're saying, why a test? Well, listen. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. The word persecuted in Greek is a little different. Dioko. Dioko means to put to flight, to drive away. It means being chased after like a hunter would chase after that which he is pursuing to kill. That's the word that he uses in the Greek. So listen to it carefully again. Blessed are those who are put to flight. Blessed are those who are being hunted down. Blessed are those who are going to find it really difficult. Why? Because of righteousness. And again, here's that word that I taught you right at the second, third beatitude. Dikaiosune. Righteousness is more than... oh, he's a righteous person. She's a righteous. Righteousness, the Greek word dikaiosune, means that which God has tested and which God has approved. Blessed are those who are persecuted, put to flight, driven away, running after, because they do that which God has approved and for God is right. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So you ask me again, why the test? Well, there's the test. Because, and I think Søren Kierkegaard, the old Danish philosopher, theologian, I think he got it right. Kierkegaard said, so many people say, oh, I'm a Christian. And so many people say, yeah, I know Jesus. And so many people say, oh, I follow Jesus. And so many people say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Cool, he says. But here's the problem. There are different ways of following Jesus. Some people who say they are disciples or followers, He says, are just people who adore him and are amazed at him and just think, oh, that's so amazing. That's so beautiful. But that's all they are. They admire him. Doesn't touch their lives. Some people who say, I am a follower of Christ, are scholars. They know everything about him. They go read up about him. You can ask them anything. They can tell you everything. But it doesn't touch their lives. Hasn't changed the way in which they live, in which the way they do. Because here's the thing, he says, about discipleship. A disciple is someone who has lost their own life, who lives according to the word of God. That is where they live from. It's someone who has given everything in themselves up and said to the Lord, you take that and you do that and you take my life and do with my life whatever you want to do with my life. Whose life is governed by walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing about that. It is very costly. Because just jumping on the bus and saying, I'm a disciple, and admiring him, you can get off the bus anytime. Just learning about him and knowing everything about him, and stuff gets hard, you're off the bus and there you go. Being a disciple says, when the rubber hits the road, and it's really hard, and the world turns against you, and things are not that easy because of who you are and who you stand for, you stay on the bus. But it will cost you. Hear me this morning when I say that. To follow Christ will cost you. Jesus himself, a little later, when he's done with the sermon, says in Matthew 16, 24 to 27, he says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to, listen carefully, deny yourself, take your cross, and follow me. Because here's the thing, he says. Someone who wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life because of me will find it. For the Son of Man will come back. And he will reward everyone according to what they have, and listen to this last word, to what they have done, how they have lived. There is a cost to following Jesus. And it starts with maybe the most difficult one of all, deny yourself. How easy is that to do? Because isn't that where we start? It's me. It's about me. It's all about my life. Isn't that how the world teaches us? It's me. Jesus says, no, you want to follow me? You deny yourself and I become number one. When he says this in Matthew adds, he says, you cannot be my disciple unless you hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister and your wife and your children and deny your own self. You cannot be my disciple. He makes it even harder. Saying with all of that, he doesn't mean I have to say, Mom, Dad, I hate you like nobody's business. He's saying I have to say, Mom, Dad, I love you with everything that is in me because that's what God expects. But I have to tell you that I love Jesus more than you. When I look at my Elsie that God has gifted me for 44 years of my life, and I give her a kiss and I say goodnight and I say, Elsie, I love you with all my heart. In the same moment, I have to say, but there's someone that I love far more than you, Elsie. And that is Jesus. It is costly to follow Jesus. Second one goes with that. Deny yourself and take up your cross. It's not the old story that everyone bears their burden. I have my cross to bear. No. When Jesus says, take up your cross, in those days it meant one thing and one thing only. You take that cross on your shoulders, you're going to die. That's it. You're going to die. Die for yourself. Die for the world. Did you hear how he explained it? Anyone who wants to save their life will lose it. But everyone who loses their life for me will find it. Take your cross. And then those other words. And follow me. Not follow the world. Not follow the rules of the world. Not follow society. Follow me. My word. Look at my footsteps. But Lord, they go to places where I would never go. Right? But Lord, they keep me away from places where I really would like to go. Really? But Lord, I'd like to say that. But you're... Really? But my hands... They're your hands. But here's the thing. There's a warning that goes with that, and that's why I'm saying this is the test. Matthew 7, just as he kind of ends this little sermon on the mount, Jesus says to them, so this is how it looks like. This is how the kingdom looks like. This is how it looks like to be dependent on me. And the people are kind of, holy moly, but okay. And then he says, but I want to remind you of something. In those days, there will be many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, but didn't we prophesy in your name? And Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? And didn't we drive out demons in your name? And I will say to them, get away from me, you evildoers. Because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but only those who, and hear the word, who do the will of my Father in heaven. Discipleship is not a word. Discipleship is not being on the bus and getting off whenever you want. It's not hop on, hop off. Discipleship is doing what Jesus called me to do, to walk in his footsteps, to deny myself, to die for this world, and to say, I am yours wherever that might take me, even if it means like Peter dying on a cross. Even if it means like those in the first century who were nailed to the walls and who were candles for the feasts of the pagans. They knew exactly what it meant to be persecuted. We have no idea. We have no idea. Why will this happen? Why will the Greek word dioko, why will they come after you? Well, here's the thing. It's two worlds that are apart. It's two worlds that stand against each other. The world of Christ and the world, two different worlds, and they collide. And when they collide, it's not an easy thing. And can I say this? And forgive me, but I need to say this. I think we make the gospel tolerant because we want to, because society says we have to. It's a double-edged sword. It's what the word calls it. This is how I look. This is who I am. Follow me. But then you have to die. Or otherwise... Now, the early Christians, as I said, they knew exactly what persecution meant because they felt it. They were killed. They were going after them. Now listen how Jesus says what will happen. Verse 11. He says, blessed are you when people insult you. Again, it's an interesting Greek word. Onedizo. Onedizo means morally discrediting you. So blessed are you when people morally discredit you, insult you, and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Yeah, right. We want to say. Because great is your reward in heaven, God's kingdom, where God rules. There is your reward where moth and rust cannot touch you. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you, we will feel it. The persecution just looks a little different. You will be ridiculed. There are some young people that sit in this church. You know that it's not always that easy at school to say, I am a disciple of Christ, and to live that, because they will push you out. You will not be part of the fun and the in group, because look at you. It's old-fashioned stuff, right? They will morally discredit. They will insult. It's gonna happen. That's how it looks like. I will have to make a stand for Jesus. Otherwise, I'm just one of those first two. I'm on the bus for the ride, and when it gets heavy, I'm out of the bus. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they ridicule you, when they discredit you because of me, and because you stand for me, and you live for me. John Russell Lowell said, if we conform with the world, then not too long after that, we will become slaves. Slaves of society. Which is scary when he says that. So he wrote this poem, 1943. This poem was written. He could have written it yesterday. Read it. They are slaves who fear to speak for the fallen and the weak. They are slaves who will not choose hatred, scoffing, and abuse, but rather than in silence shrink from the truth they needs must think. They are slaves who dare not be in the right with two or three. When we conform with society, with the world, we become slaves of our society. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Listen to the message. He says, because not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of doing what God approves. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And when Jesus spoke that, many turned away, John 6:66, turned away, and they said, this is too hard. Who can do this? And then Jesus turned to the disciples, and Jesus said to them, what about you? Don't you want to leave too? And Peter said to Jesus, how can we leave you? Because you are the only one who has the words that give life everlasting. It's hard. No question about it. It's difficult. No question about it. It will ask a price and cost you. No doubt about it. But who has the words that give life everlasting? A man who knew this and felt this in his body. How many times did they tie him and then they would hit him with whatever they had? They put him in jail. They ridiculed him. His name was Paul. What did he write in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, if I remember? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die, that is gain. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Amen. What a joy. What a joy to walk through your word, Lord. 8 weeks, we've walked through these Beatitudes, and it's supposed to change our lives when we live them. Help us then, Lord, to live them in such a way that in this world already, your light will shine through us into this world. Your healing balm will be part of our lives into this world. And if the hardship comes, and if the difficulties come, and if the things of the world come, and if the persecution comes, we can't do it on our own. But thank you that we don't have to, because your Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us, to make us bold, to pick us up, to walk right next to us and speak into our lives and guide us in this journey. Thank you that you guide us every day. Lead us, Lord. We sang that. Lead me now and evermore. Thank you that we may depend on you and live for you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.